I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. In October of last year, Governor Brown signed AB 403, which is legislation that comprehensively reforms placement and treatment options for youth in foster care. According to a summary of the bill, AB 403 helps ensure that youth in foster care have their day-to-day physical, mental, and emotional needs met, that they have opportunities to grow up in permanent and supportive homes, and that they can grow into self-sufficient, successful adults. Now that we're just over 6 months past the bill being signed, we're checking in with Jim Roberts. Jim is the CEO of the Family Care Network, which serves foster and high-needs children, youth, and families on the Central Coast. Welcome, Jim.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And before we start talking about AB 403, Jim, I'd like you to give us a little bit of background about the Family Care Network. What is your mission, for instance?
Okay, for sure. You know, our mission is to enhance the well-being of children and families in partnership with our community. And I kind of emphasize that partnership. And we do 20 different programs, actually, ranging from very special, intensive therapeutic foster care to finding housing for homeless families. We have a licensed adoption agency. We do a whole array of, you know, children's mental health services, school-based mental health, transitional housing for foster and former foster youth. And we really have been, I think, extraordinarily successful because we've had this amazing community that's really partnered with us, and we've made that part of our objective, our goal as a community-based organization. We're not located anywhere but right here. So that's the kind of the short version of Family Care Network. And I started it. It'll be 29 years this coming August.
Mm-hmm. And you're serving both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties?
Yes, we do.
Now, how many people does the Family Care Network employ?
As of next week, we'll have about 205.
Okay. And on top of those people, you're also partnering with other organizations and entities on the Central Coast?
That's right. Plus, we usually have anywhere from 150 to 200 plus volunteers that are engaged with us at any given time.
Okay. So you told me that AB 403 is hugely significant legislation. It sounds like common sense to me. So what I'm wondering is, what is significant about this reform and why was it needed?
Well, it does sound like common sense. It should be. But, you know, we've had a system that's been pretty entrenched in a mode of operation for a long time. AB 403, really initiated back in 2012, was all about, you know, trying to deinstitutionalize the foster care population, meaning it for many, many years, it was like a kid had problems, had behaviors, they'd stick them in a group home or stick them in some kind of an institution. And unfortunately, many kids grew up in group homes. And that's just wrong. It's abnormal. It's not healthy or beneficial for them. So the whole impetus behind AB 403, and I'm very fortunate to have been part of the whole design and the development process since 2002, and I'm still involved, or 2012, excuse me. But really what it's trying to do, and there's still a lot of ways to go, is to move potentially 10, 20,000 youth from group homes into the community, into family-based care, whether that be with, you know, foster families or what we're now calling resource families. The term foster parent is going away. It's now resource parent.
Okay.
Or whether they can go with their own relatives or kin. And there are still going to be children and youth that need that level of care, but it will be on a selective basis. So now group homes have been retitled to short-term residential treatment programs.
So is it just a change in name, or is it a change in how they operate?
Oh, no, it's a change in how they operate. You know, a youth going into the new version of a group home, I mean, it's for a short-term intervention that's part of a larger plan to move that youth to permanency, whether it be going back with their own family into an adoptive family or out on their own if they have no family. And so it's now a very controlled measure. Instead of just out of sight, out of mind, let's send this kid to this group home and hopefully they'll age out of the system and not bother us. But there's a big but with this being successful, and that is that if you're going to move youth from group homes back to the community to be in family-based care, you need families. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge dilemma, not only for our agency, and we work really closely with our local Department of Social Services, amazing people and partners, but across the state. This is the big buzz now. This is the big talking point. There's actually contingents of counties that are saying, maybe we should delay implementing this from January 1st, 2017, because we don't know if we can do this. So big challenges, but it's a major important change.
So the bill was signed in October of 2015, and it goes into effect in January of 2017, and gearing up for it right now.
We're gearing up for it right now. You know, we're doing work groups at the state, but we're also developing wonderful partnerships and trying to roll it out here with, like I mentioned, social services, but also our behavioral health department. Because as you read as a little synopsis of the bill, it's really to add, make sure all the services and supports are there, including, you know, the mental health services. So as a mental health services provider, we've increased our contract or been able to increase our contract for services with behavioral health so that we can meet additional needs of additional kids staying in the community.
So is the biggest change that's going to affect the family care network the need for more families, or are there other big changes?
It's really the need for families, the resource families that we're calling them now, to, you know, come alongside, work with us, become that professional parent to really help stabilize these youth so that they can move quickly to permanency. And we have a really good track record. We just need a whole lot more people to come along. I mean, I think this county would love to move 20 to 25 youth next year back to the area. Well, that means we have to have those families.
What does it take to be a resource family?
Well, obviously, it's a matter of heart and interest in kids. Of course, there's the criminal record and all that vetting to make sure that these families are safe, having a safe home. But more importantly, it's really somebody that wants to be part of this whole treatment process is a really what we call as a professional parent, somebody that will participate in our training, that won't mind all of the intensive support and intervention that we provide, that's willing to work as part of a team. We have, you know, meetings, and they actually do, you know, group meetings with other foster parents to learn new skills and to say, oh my gosh, I had this problem, how did you deal with it, that kind of stuff. And you know, it can be a slow process sometimes, because you got to do the home studies and you got to do the criminal record things, and the system is a little slow. But nonetheless, it's really becoming a partner with us, and they're treated like anyone else in our agency as a professional that's there working to help these kids move on to a successful adulthood.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with Jim Roberts, who's the CEO of the Family Care Network, which serves foster children and children in need on the Central Coast in both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And we're talking about continuum of care reform. We haven't mentioned that phrase yet, but that's a part of the legislation that has come into effect. AB 403 is the bill that was signed last October, which reforms foster care in the state of California. So let's talk a little bit more about what continuum of care reform is, because that, or CCR, is a term that people might hear in the community. Is this bill, AB 403, a part of that continuum of care reform?
Yes, actually, the continuum of care reform was initiated as a trailer bill back in 2012, and it set in motion this whole continuum of care study process that went several years, and participated on the steering committee and a lot of work groups, and that culminated in a continuum of care reform plan. But it really is a sea change, because now it's going to also open the door for relatives and kin to be able to provide services like foster care, where an agency like mine can actually come in and do the clinical work and the support and the training for them, instead of it being, you know, a foster family that we've gone out and recruited and trained. We can work across the platform, whether it be a county home, whether it's with a relative or kin. And the idea is to make more families available. So I'm kind of excited about that piece of it, because what's best for a child if they're taken into protective custody? If you can move them with a relative, keep them there for their permanency instead of moving them from one place to another. So that just makes a lot more sense. That's why I'm saying this is a huge change in thinking. Mm-hmm. And now they're even toying with a similar change at the federal level. There's a bill will probably be passed and signed by the president within a couple of weeks, is the Family First Intervention Act, Intervention and Prevention Act. And it will do very similar as to what we're doing with CCR, but at the federal level.
Okay. And do these bills, do they then provide funding for groups like yours to do the training that you need to help people become resource families? They
do, and that's the kind of the sticky wicket right now. They've committed to make sure that it meets all of the agency needs. But so far, they've not, you know, come out with their checkbook to really come up with rates that are going to support it. And so there's a lot of concern. And so the legislature will be initiating the first week of July. The budget committees in both the Assembly and the Senate will be initiating hearings on the budget side of CCR, because they're very concerned that it's going to be grossly underfunded. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of concerns about that.
Where do you get most of your funding?
Our funding comes, you know, through contracts, through state rates. You know, the state sets the rates, like when we're doing foster care, those are state set rates, and that are reimbursed on a per diem base, you know, for however many days of care that we have a child. We also are very dependent on community support, our community events, you know, our donor support, grants, that community fiscal help.
If someone wants to become a foster family, or what's now called a resource family, mm-hmm. what kind of training is necessary before one can actually do that?
Well, we provide a very, very robust training program. So there are certain requirements in statute that people have to complete X number of hours of training before they actually become certified and can take a child.
How many hours?
The state's based standard is 12 hours. We require close to 40 hours, you know, pre-certification. And that includes everything from how to deal with crises, good communications, the CPR and first aid, trauma. We've been a leader agency in teaching all of our staff and our foster parents how to work with traumatized children. That's what we're working with. And then we do some specialty trainings. We shelter families, for instance. That's a huge need we have in both counties, is for people that will do emergency shelter. Well, we train those families very specifically, you know, how to receive a child in the middle of the night or in the day, whenever it is, how to kind of do their assessment, how to work with us in the county to make sure their needs are met. And then we have some other specialty foster care programs that we then train people, you know, behavioral interventions, crisis intervention. You know, there's just a lot of skills that we work with, and we do a lot of it individually. Once they're working with the kid, one of my master level social workers, who are all clinicians, they'll sit down and they'll work with them individually, hands on. You know, well, let's try this, let's do this, and be a supportive that way. And we found that's been really successful over the years.
That's a huge commitment to step in and be a resource family. I can imagine that fear might be one big block from people wanting to step forward and say, yes, I'll help. But you are really in need of resource families right now. So what would you say to people who might have a little bit of fear about saying, yes, I want to take a child?
That's a great question, because that's very real. You know, it's a matter of, you have to be a certain degree of trust. But it's like we will walk somebody through the process and stay with them the whole way. That's one of the strengths of being a private foster care provider. We have the staffing capacity, and we're a 24/7 operation. And so when once somebody starts the process, they'll realize it is really all about this amazing team of people that are all working together for the same goal, and that's to help that kid. And so that fear factor, it can be dispelled or mitigated, I think, rather rapidly by just somebody taking the first step, you know, getting in the water and say, okay, I'm willing, and then realize how supported they are. We have parent partners. They're seasoned foster parents, and they work with our families, our new resource parents. You know, it's just an extra level of support, mm-hmm. you know, to guide them through it and to say, oh, you did great there, and, you know, don't worry about this, you know, whatever we can take. So people can rest assured if they take the step, they're going to be met with a huge amount of support and assistance.
Short of stepping forward to being a resource parent or a resource family, another way that people can support the Family Care Network is by coming to your fundraiser, which is coming up on July 24th. It's at Madonna Inn's Secret Garden. Can you just briefly tell me a little bit about that
fundraiser?
Yeah,
this is one of our just most wonderful, you know, beautiful events that we do annually. And it's kind of exclusive, and it's already getting close to being sold out. And so people will just have to go on the website, benefitforkids.com, or to the Family Care Network website, fcni.org, and they can get a little taste of what we're going to be doing.
Okay, and that's also where they can go to find out other ways to help, to volunteer or to become a foster parent or resource family, is FCNI, Family Care Network. What's the I stand
Inc.
for? Inc. Family Care Network, Inc. That's FCNI.org to learn about the Family Care Network. I've been talking with the network's CEO, Jim Roberts. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you. And again, I always appreciate your great questions and for opening this door for our community to learn about this.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.